You'll notice both of our scripture readings deal with speaking the message, sharing the Word of God. Isaiah says that God didn't just speak to prove Himself to mankind or to prove that He was real, but He spoke to show man the significance of speaking. You know, God could have revealed Himself in any way that He chose to. The Bible says very clearly that He reveals Himself through creation, through different ways. God didn't have to speak to man, but God did speak to show man the significance of speaking and what it was about to communicate verbally with one another. Now, that's important because the medium that we're seeing here is the message. It is the way that we communicate that message to mankind that is important. Because God says when His Word is spoken, it has a purpose. It will not go out void, but will return to Him the fruit that He intended for it to return. Peter says that one of our primary goals as Christians is to be ready to give an account of the hope that lies in us, to speak to people about the gospel and about God. Unfortunately, this day and age that we live in, we do not do this as often as we should. Fear is the number one factor for not sharing the gospel. Fear of different things. But nonetheless, fear is a problem. One of the fears that we face is that we do not feel adequate enough to share about Christ or to talk about our faith. And unfortunately, it's because we don't spend enough time studying out how to talk about our faith. If it doesn't come natural to us, we just think, well, we can't do it. Whereas we'll plan for other things. We'll plan for our jobs. We'll plan for our vacations. We'll figure out how to do whatever it is we want to do. But yet, when it comes to sharing the Word of God, we do not take the time that we need to plan how to share and what to share. We don't have to be a great theologian just to tell someone what Jesus has done for us. But it is our goal. It's our call because the very first encounter that Jesus had with His disciples after His resurrection had to do with sharing the message of God with the world. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 21 is a scripture that we want to focus on today as we think about witnessing for the gospel's sake. We read here in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 21. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Now John records Jesus' post-resurrection appearance to His disciples. His first appearance of many to His disciples. His aim is to alleviate their fears by disclosing to them their message, their mission, through His message, their purpose. To proclaim the gospel to the world. To proclaim His message to people that they encounter, that they come up against. Now, we often, as Christians, throw these terms around loosely, and we'll say the gospel, and we never really stop to understand what that means. The gospel is actually the good news It's what the word means. It comes from the Greek word evangelios, which we derive the term evangelism from. The good news. But what exactly is the good news? What exactly is the gospel? Well, the gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life that we should have lived and died the death that we should have died. He rose from the dead, proving that He was God, and offers salvation to all who repent and believe. That is what the gospel in a nutshell is. That is also our mission, to share the gospel with the world. Now, we don't know who God is going to call and who God's going to draw. We don't know in the end who's going to be saved, do we? We don't know that. We can't know that by just looking at a person and saying, well, we rule you out right there. Well, this one looks good. We don't know that, do we? We don't know in the end of things who God is going to call to salvation. But our goal is not to know. Our goal and our job is to proclaim to all people, to share and let God do His part whenever He wants to do His part, and let us do ours, and not worry about the results, because the results are all in God's hands anyway. Our call is to share and spread the message of God and let that seed fall where God would plant it. Just as the farmer that Jesus told the parable about scattered the seed, that's what we are to do. When the farmer would scatter the seed, it wasn't just he poked little holes in the ground. I remember my grandfather doing that when we were growing up. He would, you know, heap a bunch of dirt together and make a row out of it, and he would poke holes in that row, and he would take those seeds and plant them down in there. But in these days that Christ was talking about, this parable that Jesus tells wasn't a farmer that poked holes in the ground. He just spread seed. He just took handfuls of seed and just scattered them out through there and threw them out this way and out that way. And as the seed fell, some seed didn't take root at all, but some seed did and began to produce crop. But yet he didn't care about whether it hit this soil or that soil. He just threw it out there and let it take its course. You see, that's what you and I are to do with the Word of God. We're to just take it out there and spread it wherever we can, wherever it'll go, and let God do the rest. Not worry about who listens and who doesn't listen, and about, well, I would share and get discouraged because it's not making a difference. The difference is God's to make, not ours. Our call is to share it, is to spread it, just like that farmer spread the seed and scattered it. We are to do the same. Here in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 21, Christ reveals three ways He equips us to share the gospel. We see this through His actions and His conversation with the disciples. We have a right to fear that we are inadequate, because we are. But if we let God do the talking through us, if we trust Him to give us the courage, if we will step out on faith and believe in His guidance and His deliverance, then we can share adequately the gospel. It's not the quantity of words, it's the quality that matters. It's not how much we say, it's what we say that God uses to draw people to Himself. The first we see here that God equips us to share the message with great peace. Isn't that interesting that that's the first thing that is mentioned here before He mentions anything else? Verse 19, He says, when Jesus came and stood among them, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." While "peace be with you" is a common Jewish greeting, the context reveals that Christ's tendering of peace is far more than just a greeting. It's far more than just saying, "Hey, how are you doing?" Peace be with you. In Hebrew, it's shalom. In English, we derive more than one word to describe what we're saying. We chain several words together, but "peace be with you" is the common greeting. It means well-being to the one that you are greeting. It's showing favor to that person, for those people. But Jesus is doing more than that here. He's not talking about a peace that is between man and man, but He's talking about a peace that is between God and man. He's talking about a peace or a calmness or a stillness, if you will, that is necessary to be able to share the gospel message. If we are not at peace ourselves, we cannot bring the Prince of Peace to other people. We cannot bring the gospel of peace if we aren't at peace ourselves. You see, Ephesians chapter 6, Paul uses the analogy in the imagery, if you will, of a soldier's wardrobe and the shoes that he says the soldier, Christian soldier, should wear is the gospel of peace. Now, it's interesting because Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. I came to bring division. And so we need to understand the gospel in itself is not peaceful. But in the ultimate end, when one responds to the gospel, it certainly brings peace. It brings peace between God and man. Because the Bible says very clearly that man is an enemy with God while he is in sin. We say man is mankind because the Bible says God created man, male and female. So we understand when God uses that terminology. We need to be clear about that in our society. That man, when we say that, means male and female in the Bible. And so when we look at this, we understand that we are at war against God as a human race, as humankind. We are at odds against Him. When we are not with God, we're fighting against God. And we aren't at peace at all. And so the peace that Jesus says that will be with you is more than just a common greeting. It's more than just peace between two people. It is an ultimate peace that only God can give. Not only does Christ give us peace with God through His blood, He also gives us the peace of God through His abiding presence. And through that, we are able to share the message clearly. Only when we have experienced God's peace can we share that peace with others. As we proclaim the gospel to this hostile world, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God that passes all understanding, surpasses all understanding. That's a peace, a reconciliation with God in a riddance of your sin that guides you. Think about that. When you have truly experienced God and experienced the peace of God, you will know what to say about God. How can you say something about someone that you don't know, that you don't have a relationship with? You know, it's one thing to say I know somebody and to actually know them. I'm a sports fan. I know a lot about sports players. Maybe their stats, maybe where they were born, maybe where they're from, maybe all these things. But that doesn't mean I actually know them. I know things about them, but I really don't know them. And oh, how many people do we see today that know a lot of things about God, but really don't know God? You see, there's a difference in having a relationship with someone and knowing facts about them. The peace of God only comes through a relationship with God. And when we have that relationship, then we can speak His gospel message to those that we encounter. We won't have to fret and worry about, well, what do I say? When God grabs your life like the Bible says that He does, we'll know what to say. It's not always the most theological, spellbounding message. We want to sound good when we speak. We want to use correct grammar. We want to do all the things that we need to do to make ourselves look like somebody. But sometimes it's just the simplest thing that is said that God uses as a seed to plant in a person's heart to draw them to Himself. We don't know where the seed's going to land. But we do know that there is soil out there that will yield crops. But we have to spread the seed. Second, Christ equips us with great proof. Now, we know we walk by faith, not by sight. We know that He tells Thomas a little bit later there in that same chapter, "Blessed are they that have not seen and believe." We understand that. But we also need to understand that the first step is a step of faith. And after that first step, God begins to show us. Here in this scripture, He shows the disciples His hands and His side. He shows them this to convince them of the truth of His resurrection, as proof that it is really Him that stands before them. That it's He. It's me, He says. "Look, I have the scars to prove it." Christ has likewise given us convincing proof that He is risen. Not only did He give it to them, He gives it to us. His resurrection, as a matter of fact, was not an isolated phenomenon. It was not an isolated incident or event. The Bible says that He appeared to many following His resurrection. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:6, more than 500 people He appeared to at one time. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it'd be very hard for 500 people to all mistakenly see the same thing. It had to have been real, right? They corroborated this appearance. He did this to show them and convince them that it was really He, that it was proof of His resurrection. And we have their witnesses down through the years. God provides us proof through the witness of other people. By sharing the gospel, by sharing that He is risen, by sharing that He is really God. You see how important it was that we have these accounts? Well, since it was important then to us, shouldn't it be important now that we also share? You see, I think sometimes we take faith so personally that we keep it personal. And we think that's the way it should be. And you've heard these people say, "Well, now, at least for me, this was the path." No. God made this path for everyone. It don't just work for you. It doesn't just work for you. It's intended to work for all. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." It's not just what got us through. It's what gets anyone through. When we understand that, yes, salvation is personal, but we're not to keep it personal, that we are to share it, and we are to shout it from the rooftop, then we will know how and when to go, and what to say and what to do, and how God would lead us through that. This historical fact, this proof of the resurrection, should be at the center of our witness for Christ, and should also motivate us to tell others about Him. We have the witness of people. We also have the Word of God that witnesses to this truth. And we also see the will of God in our own lives and out here in the world today at work to show us it's real. Too many people have sacrificed themselves for it not to be. And these weren't uneducated men. A lot of them were educated. Paul was one of the most educated individuals that we ever read about. He says, "I was not only educated, I was good at what I did." He said, "I excelled above my fellow men." And he believed in the virgin birth. He believed in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. He believed in things that most educated people would say couldn't be. Paul, as we would say, was no dummy. And he believed. You know why? Because it was true. It doesn't matter what other people think. It only matters what God says is real. Finally, Christ equips us with great power. Verse 21, he says, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you." And the verse after that, we see that the Holy Spirit is involved in the sending. This was also Jesus' prayer for his disciples in John 17:18. He says to the Father, "As you send me into the world, I have sent them into the world." And Jesus, just before he ascended into heaven, linked directly the power of the coming Spirit of God with his disciples' future witness in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You see, we're not going on our own. As we said, we have fear that we are inadequate, and we are absolutely right. But when we go by the power of God, when we are led by the Lord, you see, that's the thing right there. You don't just go out there and just start talking. You wait for God to open doors. You wait for God to appear. You see, he even appeared in a room that was locked. You know why? Because there is nothing impossible with God. And only he can appear in a room that's locked. You see? And so when we go by the power of God. We let him lead us. We let him guide us. We're to throw that seed out there, but we are to let God go before us. We're to say, "All right, God, show us what we need to do today. Send us where we need to go." And let him do the leading. Then we just scatter seed wherever we go there, where he leads. Since the Holy Spirit must open blind eyes and impart new life to sinners when they hear the gospel, we must especially rely on the Spirit's power when sharing the gospel with others. We don't go alone. God goes with us. We don't know what we should say, but when the time comes, he'll give us what we need to say. But we don't even try. No wonder our churches are dwindling down. How can we get people to come when we are not as dedicated as we should be? When we're not willing to put ourselves out there, make someone uncomfortable or make ourselves uncomfortable. We want everything to be easy. We want everything to be enjoyable. We're afraid of pushing people away from church, and by not saying anything, we push them away anyway. We're afraid to speak the truth because it offends people, so let it. People say, "Well, you're judging me." But when we stick to the Word of God, we need to understand it's God that judges, not us. And when we tell them the Word of God and not our opinion, then when they say you're judging us, they're falsely accusing. They're wrong. We're just simply telling them what God says in the Word. And he has a right to judge because he created us. We need to quit falling for these lies of the enemy. We need to quit falling into these traps, because what they have done is they have silenced our voice. They've kept us silent long enough. It's not a coincidence that Jesus' first appearance to his disciples was one to say, "Preach the gospel." Because as his witness, that is our first priority, to share his message with the world.